Doesn't matter how many facts I know about somebody, doesn't mean I know them. And doesn't matter how much you know about Jesus, it's more about, do you really know him personally? Not about him, do you know him? I want to share with you five quick things tonight about Jesus. And I want you tonight, the message, really the goal that I have in the message, every message I preach, I want to have a goal. I want something to be accomplished. If I preach on patience, I want you guys to leave having more patience. If I preach on soul winning, I want you to go out and want to be a better soul winner. That every message has a goal. It has a destination that I want to reach. And tonight's destination that I want to reach, when I finish preaching this message, I want everybody in this room, every teenager, even adults, I want all of us to really look deep inside our hearts and ask ourselves if we really know Jesus. If we really know him. Not just about him, but do we really know him? Take your Bibles and go to the book of John. It's going to be a really simple message. I'm a kind of a simple guy. It's all right. John chapter 3. I got five things I want to tell you about Jesus. And like I said, just because I know stuff about Jesus doesn't mean I know him personally. You say, well, how can you know Jesus personally? He's not here next to me. I can't see him. Listen, Jesus is more real than he's just as real as me standing here today. Jesus is real. If you don't believe that, there's a problem. If you don't believe that God is real, that's a problem. We're in John 3. I want to tell you a couple things about Jesus. And I want you, like I said, I want you to really think in your heart about Jesus tonight. I want you to get closer to Jesus tonight. I want the end of this message for you to say, man, I'm so privileged to know Jesus. And I want you to have a desire to know him even more. Number one is this. What about Jesus? You know, number one, he loves you. Say, well, I know that. I sing it. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. I know that Jesus loves me. I've heard a thousand times. No, I want you to really think about that. Someone that you've never seen before in your entire life. Someone that the Son of God, one with God, created the whole world, loves you. Really loves you. Loves you more than your parents love you. He loves you more than I love you. He really loves you. John 3:16. You know the verse. You probably could quote it if I asked you to. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus loves you. He really loves you. Go to Mark 9. You're in John. Go back two books. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We were in John. So go back to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Jesus, he loves you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know that? He loves you. Mark chapter 9 is a story about Jesus, actually. And look down at verse 17. Mark 9 and verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. When that means dumb spirit, it doesn't mean the kid was dumb. It means the kid was demon-possessed. He was possessed with devils. Verse 18, and wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. So this demon that was in this kid was just really messing with him. It was hurting him. It was just destroying his life. Verse 19, he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. So Jesus says, bring him over here. Bring the demon-possessed kid over here. Verse 20, and they brought him unto him, and when he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him. Now when it says tear, it means it just started going crazy. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Pretty creepy story. I don't know how old the kid was. I'm guessing since it says boy, he probably was a young kid, possessed with the devil. Jesus said, bring him to me. And right when that boy is brought to Jesus, the demon inside that kid recognized that this is Jesus, Son of God, and starts really messing with this kid. Kid falls on the ground, starts foaming at the mouth. I mean, it is a crazy story, crazy situation. Can you imagine being the father? Look what the father said. Verse 21. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. When he was really little. I think it's great to know that Jesus cared. He wouldn't ask if he didn't care. He said, how long has it been going on? Okay, verse 22. This is the father talking, the father of the kid. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. Can you believe that? This demon was actually trying to kill this kid. It would literally, if they were passing by a little river or a brook or whatever, this demon would actually throw this kid into the water. If there was a fire, it would try to throw him in the fire and try to kill this kid. Terrible. End of verse 22. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Compassion means care. It means love, loving care, wanting to help. Verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said he's dead. So Jesus calls this demon out of this kid. Crazy. The kid falls down. Everybody thinks he's dead. Verse 27, but Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. The kid was okay. Jesus took care of the problem. I read that story, and I could just picture this father of this demon-possessed kid. I hate when my kids are just sick with, like, a fever. You know, and it breaks my heart. I can't imagine this father whose son is demon-possessed, and many times this demon had been trying to kill this kid. His father was just brokenhearted. And it says he goes to Jesus and he asks him to help. And Jesus says, if thou believe, then all things are possible. And it says the father just cried out with tears and said, I do believe. Help any bit of unbelief that I have, Lord, please, please. Jesus loved this man. Jesus loved that boy. He took care of the problem. He helped him. Listen, whatever problem that you have going on in life, whatever situation that you're going through, I want you to remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who died on the cross for you, he loves you. He really, really, really loves you. You say, well, I never heard him say, I mean, when someone loves me, it's nice to hear them with their voice. Listen, I'm not saying that Jesus is going to from heaven call, but listen, many times in this book, the Bible says that God loves us. He really loves you. It's very easy to forget that sometimes and not really think about that, but he loves you. Listen, and I have no doubt that there's people in this room that you don't really feel very loved at home or at school or whatever. You don't have a lot of love going around. So you may not even know what real love is. Listen, can I tell you what real love isn't? Okay, this 50 Shades of Grey movie coming out, that's not love at all. It's a bunch of garbage what it is. That's not love at all. Okay, what you see on television shows and movies, and I'm not saying don't watch movies, don't watch TV. I'm not saying I watch TV. But most of what Hollywood portrays as love is not real love. Okay, a guy and a girl shacking up together or meeting each other and going, that's not real love. It's not. Not at all. Real love is what the Bible says real love is. And following what God's commands are when it comes to marriage and things like that. But listen, the love that Jesus has for you is a real love. I have no doubt that if I asked you to raise your hand, if I asked everybody, raise your hand if you have somebody in your life, and don't raise your hand, but if I asked, raise your hand if you have somebody in your life that loves you, I bet all of us could raise your hand. I'd hope everybody could, because I hope all you know that we love you. I love you. My wife loves you. Our workers, we love you a lot. We care about you. But we'd all could say, yeah, I have someone that loves me. Listen, Jesus loves you so much more than anybody else could. In the world, he really loves you. You know what's crazy about the love of Christ is he loves us even when we don't love him. He loves us even when we don't even care. Listen, I can't imagine if I told my son, Donald, when he gets older, said, Don, I love you. He said, whatever. He just didn't really care about it. It'd break my heart. It'd probably make me mad. Jesus loves you even when you don't really care about it. Jesus loves us even when we, with our actions, we really don't show him that we love him at all. Hey, I bet there's people out in the world that hate Jesus. They hate God. Jesus still loves them just as much as he loves us. He loves you. Do you know Jesus? Not just about him. Do you really know Jesus? Number one, he loves you. Number two, he cares about you. 1 Peter chapter 5. If you get there, great. If not, I'm going to read the verse. 1 Peter chapter 5. He cares about you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7 says this. If you're not there, just listen. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Jesus, the Son of God, who died on the cross, cares about you. He cares about your problems. He cares about what you struggle with. He cares about your family. He cares about what you care about. Jesus cares about you. You know, when you have a bad day, I think of Solomon. Can you tell me earlier that he had a kind of rough day today? God cares about that. Jesus Christ cares about that. Some other people say, I know Jamila said, pray for me. I'm struggling lately. Listen, Jesus cares about that. Those maybe who seem like everything's okay, but deep inside your heart, you're not really okay. Jesus cares about that. Parents got divorced. Stinks. It's annoying. Jesus cares about that. He really, really does. Listen, I can say that I do, and I do. Man, things going on in my teenager's life and my family's life, I care about those things. But Jesus, man, Jesus really, really cares. Listen, when you cry, people get upset, they cry. Maybe you're someone that cries a lot. You have a lot to be upset about. Jesus sees those tears. The Bible talks about how He takes all your tears and keeps them in a bottle. That's how much He cares. He sees every tear that falls. Every tear that you cry, Jesus sees it. He cares about it. He cares about you. Maybe you say, well, I don't cry. Every time you get mad at something, maybe the way you react in difficult situations is you just get angry. Jesus cares in those times. Jesus wants to be there to wrap His arms around you when you're crying, when you're upset, hold you, make you feel better. Hey, when you're angry, Jesus wants to be there to say, hey, it's okay. It's okay. Calm down. I think of situations I had to deal with. Someone got mad and you have to calm them down. Listen, Jesus wants to do that for you. Say, hey, it's okay. It's going to be okay. When you're scared, when you're fearful, when you don't know what's going to happen, and you don't know what the unknown, you don't know what's coming, and you're nervous about, listen, Jesus wants to be there to comfort you because He cares about you. He cares about you. When you start to lose control, He cares. He wants to help you. He wants to give you peace in your heart. That's who Jesus is, guys. Not just some guy who died on the cross. Someone that loves you and He's someone that cares about you, about your problems, about your struggles, about every bad day, every tear you cry. Jesus cares. He cares. He wants to help you. Number three. Go to Hebrews chapter 2. Just a couple books to the left. Hebrews chapter 2. Number one, we said He loves you. Number two, we said He cares about you. Number three, let's read verse 18. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 18. If you're not there, just listen well right now. I'm going to read it. Hebrews 2:18 says this. Listen. For in that He Himself have suffered being tempted, He is able to succor them that are tempted. The word succor means to give assistance or aid or to help. So the verse is saying that for in that He Himself has suffered being tempted, He is able to help them that are tempted. Number three is this about Jesus. Jesus knows what you're going through. Jesus knows what you're feeling and what you're going through. If your parents were divorced, I can't say, I know how you feel. My parents never got divorced. I don't know how that feels. If you've been hurt or abandoned by somebody close in your life, I cannot say, honestly, I know how you feel, because I don't. But Jesus knows how you feel. Say, well, were Jesus' parents divorced? No. But Jesus, when He died on the cross, He took the sins of every single person to ever live on His shoulders, and died for our sins. Jesus went through much more than just a divorce. And a divorce is a big deal. I'm not saying it's not. I feel and it breaks my heart for those of you whose parents are split up, especially if they don't get along. That must really stink. But Jesus went through a whole lot more than that. And Jesus knows how you feel. Listen, say, well, Jesus, you know, never went to school and didn't have friends. Listen, He knows how you feel. He may not have gone to public school and not had friends because he's back in the Bible times, but I'll tell you one thing that Jesus went through. Jesus was abandoned by all of his friends, all of his followers, left him. Jesus was beat for doing nothing wrong. Say, well, you know what, Pastor Donald? My parents split up and they treat me like garbage. I don't deserve that at all. And you know what? Maybe you're right. Probably are right. Some of the stuff that you've been through, you don't deserve it. But did Jesus deserve to get beat? Did Jesus deserve to get his beard literally ripped out of his face? Did Jesus deserve to get spit on and mocked when all he did was ever help people and do miracles and give lame people the ability to walk and the blind and gave them their sight? All Jesus did was love people and help people, and here they are beating him with a whip and they're pulling out his beard and they're making fun of him and they're slapping him and they're punching him. Did he deserve any of that? Did he? Yes or no? No? He didn't deserve it, did he? He didn't deserve it. He knows how you feel, teenager. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're going through. It's hard to think about that sometimes, about all that Jesus went through. Because it's different than anything we've ever been through. A lot worse than anything we've ever been through. But he knows what you're going through. He cares. He wants to help you. I think of those times when I've been discouraged about something and I've been brokenhearted about something. And you know what Jesus wants to do? Jesus wants to just come right up next to me, sit down next to me, put his arm around me and tell me it's going to be okay. And he can say, you know what? I know what you're going through. I've been discouraged. Jesus he prayed and asked God, he said, let this cup pass me. Man, Jesus, he had to go to the cross, and he knew he had to go to the cross. It's a big deal. He knows what you're going through. Do you know Jesus? Think about that. Do you know Jesus? Number four, we're almost done. Go to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Number four, Jesus not only loves us, cares about us, not only knows what we're going through, but number four, Jesus wants you to love him back. That's the desire of Christ. He wants you to love him. He wants you to love him. Matthew 22, 37 says this, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. Jesus wants every single one of you to love him. We'll never be able to love him as much as he loves us, because there's no greater love than the love of Christ, but he still wants us to love him. He wants us to love him. He wants us to have a desire to know him better and to get closer to him. He's not okay with us just going on through life without him. That doesn't sit well with Jesus Christ. He's not just like, oh, okay, well, he can go. No, Jesus wants us. He desires to be close to us. He wants us to love him. Jesus is always looking for us. People always say, well, I found Jesus. No, Jesus found us. Jesus found us. Listen, he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to be close to you. He wants you to love him. He wants you to tell him that you love him and mean it. He's always striving for you to get close to him. That's what Jesus wants. He wants you to love him. He commands us to in the Word. It says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Jesus wants you to love him. And when we don't, breaks his heart. Breaks his heart. He wants us more than we want him. It's the truth. Jesus wants us more than we want him. Even if you're trying to get close to God, listen, there have been times in my life as a teenager when I got a little bit away from the Lord. I didn't really want God, but there's never been a moment that Christ didn't want to be close to me. There's never been a moment that God did not want to be close to you. Jesus has always, always, always wanted you to love him. Always. Think about that. When's the last time you told Jesus Christ you loved him? Not just in group prayer like we just had, but just you and God. Just you and said, Jesus, I just want to tell you, I love you. I'm so thankful for saving my soul, for dying on the cross for me. Jesus wants you to love him. No one loves you and wants your love more than Jesus. Isn't that amazing? Nobody loves us more than Christ, and nobody wants our love more than Jesus Christ. Listen, I got parents that I know love me. I love my kids. I love my wife. I know my wife loves me, but the love of God, the love of Jesus Christ for us is so much bigger than that. And he wants us to love him. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Last one, number five. Go to Psalm. Go to Psalm 29, and we'll be done. I hope your teens are listening tonight. Thank you for being so quiet, but I hope you're really listening tonight, thinking about this message, thinking about Jesus Christ. He's real. He's real. I promise you that. Psalm 29, verse 2 says this, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of his holiness." Number five about Jesus. Jesus deserves so much more than we could ever give him. Jesus deserves so much more than we could ever give him. Listen, I am doing my best. Donald Savini, I'm doing my best to do what God wants me to do. I am in the ministry. I am a youth pastor. I believe that God called me to Jackson, Michigan. I believe that I'm in the center of God's will, doing what he wants me to do. I'm trying to read my Bible and pray and walk with him and get close to him. I'm trying to reach people. I'm trying to obey the commands that he's given me. I'm really, really trying. But Jesus deserves so much more than that. He deserves so much more from me. So that kind of sounds kind of discouraging. If you're trying so hard and doing so much and you're still not doing enough, that doesn't sound like this sounds like a losing game. It's not a losing game. Listen, me trying my best to serve God with all my heart and failing is a whole lot better than not serving God at all. It's a whole lot better than me just not trying at all. Put that away, please. Jesus deserves so much more than we give him. So much more. If you don't realize that, then that's a problem. You're not going to get any closer to God. If you think, oh, I'm doing enough for God. We can never do enough for God. We can never do enough for God. We can never do enough for Jesus. All that he did for you, all that he did for me, he deserves so much more than we could ever give him. All that I do, all that you do, doesn't even come close to what he deserves. But what's great about Jesus Christ is even though we always fall short, he has grace. He gets it. He knows that we're just sinners. He knows that we're just human. And he gives us grace. And he doesn't say, well, you didn't give me enough today. Sorry. I'm not listening to your prayers tonight. Sorry. No, he's not like that. Jesus gives grace. He gives us second chances and third chances and fourth chances. Jesus deserves so much more than we can give him, but he still gives us grace. He's not disappointed in us when we're trying. Listen, if we're not trying at all, that doesn't make God happy. It doesn't make Jesus happy. But when we're trying and we still fail, Jesus doesn't look at us over the top of his nose and say, man, what a sorry Christian you are. No, he gives us grace. He says, hey, you can do it. I'll help you. You can do better. Hey, I can help you. Jesus deserves so much more than we ever give him. He just wants our best. He wants your best, teenager. Are you giving Jesus Christ the best that you can? In every area, in your relationship with him, even in your schoolwork, in the way you treat your parents, in your faithfulness to church, in your attitude, are you giving Jesus Christ your best? He deserves so much more than we could ever give him, but are you at least giving him your best? He deserves so much more than we could give him. Do you know Jesus, teenager? Do you know him? I hope that these things I'm talking about help you catch a glimpse of who Jesus really is. He's not just some guy that died on the cross, some guy that was born in a manger. It's not him at all. He's the Son of God. He loves you. He cares about you. He knows what you're going through. He wants you to love him, and he deserves a whole lot more than we give him. Last passage, and we'll be done. Philippians chapter 2. Those are the 5 points. But I want to just close with this. Philippians chapter 2. Do you know him, teenager? Do you know Jesus? You know what? Praise the Lord. I thank God so much. Time in my life when I know I caught a glimpse of Jesus, a real glimpse of him. And I really, man, and I'm just trying to build that relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ is most of the time, if you really catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ, you don't ever want to turn back because you know how good it is. That doesn't mean we don't fail or make mistakes. Once you get close to God that first time, you really feel close to Jesus, you really have that relationship and you're trying your hardest, man, you don't ever want to stop. And every time you do stop and mess up, you realize how good you had it when you were close to Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this. Listen. Read along with me. If you don't have a Bible, listen. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He's talking about Jesus. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. That's what Jesus did for you. Son of God became man. Took upon himself the form of a servant. The King of kings and Lord of lords became man for us. In verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what Jesus did for you. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Look at that phrase. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under heaven. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's Jesus Christ. All-powerful, almighty Son of God, Jesus Christ. And that almighty, all-powerful Son of God, Jesus Christ, wants a relationship with every one of you. He wants to be close to you. He loves you. He loves you enough to want to be close to you. He cares about you. He sees your problems. He sees when you have bad days, and he wants to help you. That's why we have church, teenager. So you can not just learn about God, not just know about God, but to get to know Jesus personally. He's everything that you need. He's all that we could hope for. He's the answer to all our problems. He's our only hope for heaven. He's a friend to the lonely, and he's someone worth following, teenager. Jesus is somebody worth following. He's worth your time. He's worth your money. He's worth your entire life. That's how much Jesus is worth. He is worth you saying, Jesus, I want to give everything to you. I want to give you my entire life. Jesus, he's worth it. He's so worth it. Best decision I ever made for my life was to give my life to Christ and let him make my decisions for me. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. Doesn't mean I'm sinless, because I'm definitely not. But when I decided as a young teenager, say, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to do what Jesus wants me to do. If he wants me to be a missionary, I'll do that. If he wants me to preach, I'll do that. If he wants me to be a plumber, I'll do that. I don't care. Whatever Jesus wants, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do my best to honor him. Do my best to obey his word, to obey his commandments, because he loves me, because he cares about me. He wants to help me, and he has helped me. It's a decision some of you need to make. Some of you know a lot about Jesus. You know a lot about him, but you don't really know him. I hope that you decide to know him. I hope that you decide that instead of just knowing about Jesus, coming and playing church, that you're going to start really doing your best to get to know Jesus, to worship him, honor him, please him. Because he has so much more to offer you than we could ever offer him. We can praise his name, we can give him our lives, but he has so much more to give to you. But are you willing to give yourself to him? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around.